Usury. In the view given me in Rochester, New York, December 25, 1865, I was shown that the subject of usury should engage the attention of Sabbath keepers. Wealthy men have no right to take interest from their poor brethren, but from unbelievers they may exact usury. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayst lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to, in the land whither thou goest to possess it. God has been displeased with Sabbath keepers for their avaricious spirit. Their desire to get gain is so strong upon them that they have taken advantage of their poor, unfortunate brethren in them distress, and have added to their already abundant means when their poorer brethren have been distressed and necessitated for the same means. "Am I my brother's keeper?" is the language of their hearts. A few years since, some of the poorer brethren were in danger of losing their souls through wrong impressions. Everywhere, Satan was tempting the poorer brethren in regard to the wealthy. These poor were looking to be favored and expecting it, when it was then duty to rely upon their own energies. And had they been favored, it would have been the worst thing that could have been done for them. All through the ranks of Sabbath keepers, Satan opened the door of temptation to some among the poorer class that he might overthrow them. Some have lacked judgment and wisdom in their poverty, have taken their own course, have not been willing to ask advice or to follow advice, and have had to suffer through the result of their miserable calculation. And yet these same ones would feel that they should be advantaged by their brethren who have property. These things needed to be corrected. The first mentioned class did not realize the responsibilities resting upon the wealthy, nor the perplexity and cares they were compelled to have because of their means. All they could see was that they had means to handle while they themselves were cramped for the same. But the wealthy have, as a general thing, regarded all the poor in the same light, when there is a class of poor who are doing the best in their power to glorify God, to do good, to live for the truth, and such were of solid worth. Their judgment was good, their spirit precious in the sight of God, and the amount of good that they accomplished in their unpretending way was tenfold greater than that accomplished by the wealthy, although they might give large sums on certain occasions. The rich fail to see and realize the necessity of doing good, of being rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate,